Access number 30398, Mr. Nathan Ritz, Real One. Can you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Ritz?
I was born on the 15th of the 9th, 1932, in Bethnal Green.
And could you tell us a bit about your family background, you know, your parents and what they did for a living?
My parents had their own business. They had cleaning and repairs, and they did all alterations. My parents worked in the shop. But he was called up, he volunteered in 1939 for the forces, and he went to France, and he was badly wounded, and he was invalided out in 1940 or 41, I think it was.
How well off were the family, would you? How many were there in the family? How
only
well
me. I'm an only child. So my parents, both parents came from big families, but I'm an only child.
And do you remember the sort of house you lived in when you were a nipper, you know, describing?
Yeah, it was a shop. And we lived upstairs, and the shop, you came down the stairs, there was one floor, you came down another flight of stairs, and then it brought you on the ground floor where the shop was, and it had a basement as well, it had a little yard at the back. And during the war, my father and mum used to keep chickens in there, obviously, because you couldn't get any eggs or anything. When I was evacuated in 1930,
that gives an idea of the background. Now, what about? Do you remember? I know you were. You'd only be six or seven.
I was six.
When the war started.
When the war.
Do you remember the start of the war and what you thought about?
I vaguely remember. My parents said the war had started, which didn't mean a lot to a child of six. Obviously, I suppose it just went. Oh well, it's another thing, isn't it? And then I know my mother, I think it was 1938, she took me somewhere to get a gas mask. I don't know where it was, but she
took... Now, what do you remember about your gas mask fitting, or your gas mask?
I remember my mum took me to the place, and they gave me this different till one fitted me, and they said, what's it like? And being a kid, like playing around with a prank. Then this little box that hang round your neck, and you put, show me how to fold it in and put it back. And they said, they only use that, you know, blah, blah. I think my mother also had one, I'm not sure, but I can't swear on that. You know, I mean, my memory on that part is vague, you know. And that's all I remember. The next thing I remember, my mother was taking me to the train, which was round the corner, and I was off to be evacuated.
Now, when were you evacuated? Was it straight away?
Yeah, virtually straight away. I went to Norfolk, funny enough. It must be an omen, because when I got... I was billeted, believe it or not, on a public house.
Now, whereabouts? Do you remember?
In King's Lynn it was, and it was called the Railway Tavern. Oh, I can always remember it was the Railway Tavern. And the lady, it was the first time I'd ever seen a Hoover, you know, like a vacuum cleaner, because I'd never seen one before. And she used to vacuum the floor, and the woman that came in used to vacuum the curtains. And I remember Christmas 1939, she had a massive, great Christmas tree that went right to the ceiling, because they didn't have fairy lights, it was all like candles. And I remember dancing around with this little girl, round and round, laughing away. And that's about all I can... I remember her taking me down the town into King's Lynn, and there was a shop selling a fishmonger, and he had crabs. I've never seen a crab. And they were crawling all over the place, and he was running, trying to catch these... And I thought it was a lot, you know. I thought, oh, I'll join in running after the crabs then. And then I remember she took me to see the Wizard of Oz. And of course, when you're a child and you see the Wizard of Oz, what frightened me was the witch. I used to have terrible nightmares for you about this damn witch, you know. Which I used to think, oh my God, this you say the witch is coming to come and get you if you're naughty, and I used to think, oh God. But she loved me like one of her. She had one son, Philip. I always remember he was older than me. I was seven, he must have been about 11, 9, 10 or 11, something like that. But she used to cuddle me like her own child. It was most peculiar.
So you were really well treated.
Oh, she treated me. And when my mum took me home, she burst out crying. She didn't want me to go.
Were you homesick at all? You?
I can't remember. I think I was and I wasn't. I think she tried to make my life the best, you know, like she could. But obviously she couldn't take the place of my mother because I was too young, you know. Anyway,
so how long were you in King's Lynn?
I think about a year, because then we thought the war, because nothing happened, you see. So she said, oh, we don't want to stay down there, and she took me back home again. Because then, I remember, my father was still away, and we watched the Battle of Britain. We actually watched the Battle of Britain, the planes up above. You looked up, we were watching it, my mother and my, outside the shop. And the planes were, it was like me, a kid, I thought, oh, look at all those lovely planes. And they were, oh, look, and they're all going, hooray, when one of them, the Germans, went, woo, and the, but I thought, I'm watching, went later in life, I thought, I was watching the Battle of Britain, I'm watching history, you know. I just couldn't believe, but as a kid, it doesn't mean a lot to you, because the war, really, to a child, doesn't mean much, because when the bombs came, and they were...
No, that would be September 40. You got back, what, August, July?
I couldn't tell you exactly
somewhere
when
in the summer of... 40.
Somewhere in the summer of 19...
So what about air raid precautions?
Yeah.
What air raid precautions did you have in your shop flat, you know?
Well, the shop, I mean, my father was away. At the back of us, where we lived, was a derelict brewery that had been empty for years. And we went down in the basement of it, and we used that as a shelter. So every time the air raids went, my mother used to say, I mean, in the middle of the night, she used to tell me, I had a job getting you up. I used to throw you on the floor, and you wouldn't wake up, she said. Because when I was a very dick, and she used to take me down to the shelter, and I always remember her sitting there all singing these songs, and she was knitting. She used to undo my little, whatever she knitted me with, And in one night, she would knit it back up again. She was a fantastic knitter.
And what was it like in there? How big was the shelter? It was a proper shelter then? I mean,
no, it wasn't. Well, I don't know. It was just the basement of this.
You were meant to use it, though.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't home from home, obviously. It was like little benches around there, and we sat on it.
How big?
Oh,
I mean, I know you're a kid, so it's different.
Not really. Oh, it was quite big. But I couldn't tell you exactly, because obviously that wasn't in my mind. It was just that I was with my mum, and that's all. And my dad wasn't there, obviously. And it was getting so bad. She said she sent me away again.
So you didn't have a shelter at home at all? No. Not a
mom. Oh yes, we had an Anderson shelter in the.
Now, what can you tell us about that?
Because
people don't know what they are, really. No?
Well, they're made of corrugated metal, you know. They came, these men, I remember, and they went through the shop and they dug out whatever it was, and they put it was like that shape, and the front was
half,
like
was half,
half moon, awesome. And all, then we had to put the dirt on the earth on the top, and inside was like bunk bed thing. Oh, it was when it rained, it got filled up with water, and it was all full of spiders. Oh, it was awful. At the end, we used it as a chicken coop.
You didn't use it as a...
Nah, it was too...
What about the blackout? How did your mum black out the building?
Oh, she had all these things on the window, you know, like sticky paper or whatever it was, and then she had blackout curtains that went... And every time there was a raid, she used to pull the blackout curtains, and that was it, but... What I can't tell you exactly what I know. She used to pull the curtains because when we were sitting there, she said, turn that light out and all that light. And because when you're a child, everything seems different to you. I mean, when the bombs came and these places were bombed, we used to run up and down these stairs and we used to find all these trinkets of people who had been bombed out. They weren't real, they were like glass. But we used to put it round their necks, and the girls used to put the earrings on, and we used to go, and I remember one day a barrage balloon broke away from its mooring, and the string, and I got hold of it thinking it was a balloon, you know, and I was trying, and because it just, I couldn't hold it, and it just went, you know, but all that, we went over the park, there was a Victoria Park near us, it's a very famous park, and they had a battery of guns, and barrage balloons up there, and certain parts you weren't allowed to walk near, because obviously, but we used to go over there and think, oh, look at those guns, look at those, you know, and I used to, searchlights used to go on, and it was all like a fairy tale to me, you know, it wasn't, I mean, I was too young really to realise what actually was going on, until I got a bit older,
And then was there much bombing in Bet that you were aware of before you were evacuated the site? So how much damage, what do you remember?
Oh, my dad's shop was always the glass windows were smashed. So eventually what they did, they boarded the whole windows up, and all they got was that much window.
About 4 inches.
Yeah, just to give it. But it just, I mean, the damage that it did, I'll tell you about later when I went away again.
Now, when did you go away again? About 41?
41 it was, yeah.
40,
1941, because I remember we went to a place called Ardeley in Hertfordshire. Ardeley.
A-R-D-E-R-L-Y?
I think so, that's Irish. We were evacuated in a vicarage with a vicar and his wife, and he had, I think he had two daughters, and one of the daughters lived there because her husband was away in the army, and she took a shine to me for some unknown reason, but now I realise, I think it was more than that. I think I didn't realise at the time. My friend only pointed me out recently. I didn't even give it a thought. She used to make me brush her hair in the mirror. And she got some sort of thrill out of this, I think. Being a kid, she used to say to me, "Do I look like your mummy? Do I look like your mummy?" And I used to say, "Yeah, yeah," because she had the same colour hair. My mum had ginger red hair, and she had red hair as well. So to me, she looked like my mother. But my pal said, "No," he said, that's all wrong. That shouldn't be. Shouldn't do that to a child. But being a kid, I didn't know. She had two daughters. I think what it was, she wanted a son, and she never had one, you know what I mean? I don't think I read in it what some people would read into it today, maybe. But maybe they do, I don't know. But I didn't, I just thought she was a nice lady.
But you were happy enough there.
Yeah, then all of a sudden we got sent, the vicar didn't want us there anymore, because I've got a feeling, something like, he must have caught me combing her hair. I'm sure he did, because he was standing in the doorway, and I don't think he was very happy about it, he was a very funny guy. He made us go to midnight mass on Christmas. We had to go, no excuse. He had a cook, an Irish cook, I always remember, and it was the first time I had ever Irish stew, and she used to be a marvellous cook. She was, and the lady, his wife, was a very nice woman. But I always noticed she had an affliction. She was like this all the time.
Blinking.
And when I went home, I started to do it. So, "Mum, don't do that," you know, because kids copy, you know. And but she was a very old-fashioned type of lady. She reminded me of that actress that used to be on the... she played Madame Arcati. She was a real, what I call an English actress. And she reminded me of her. Anyway... We were sent, and we then went on to a farm.
So that'd be in 42.
Yeah.
Still in Ardeley?
Yeah. No, it wasn't Ardeley. It was the next village to Ardeley. Hurst or something it was called. I can't remember exactly. And he treated me like his son. We used to go out shooting rabbits, and because I didn't like that, because I said, "Oh, that's wrong, you shouldn't shoot." "Of course," he said, "right, you know. He'd shoot anything. He'd shoot gulls that are going up in the air, and he'd shoot them, you know." And I used to think, "Oh, this is all wrong, you shouldn't do this," and he wouldn't have it. And this Christmas, I always remember, there was two turkeys in his...
So they're quite a while, because Christmas is the other one, and then...
Yeah, so, the yeah. And they used to sneeze, and he said, "Those two will be for us." And I thought, "I'm going to eat." And they were the nicest turkeys you ever ate, you know, but being... And then my father came... He came out, and I remember putting his jacket on, and the sleeves come down to the floor. I was only tiny, you know. And I used to say, "Ma," and eventually, but I didn't know, she brought me home again in the beginning of 1943, and I never found out until one day she was talking to me about things, you know, when you're grown up. "Do you remember I brought you back home?" "Yeah." She said, "Do you know why?" So I said, "No, I suppose you wanted me." She said, "I got called up to the bloody Air Force," she said, "Women's Air Force. And the only way I could get out of it was that I had to look after a child." And so she brought me back. But she didn't tell me till I said, "Oh, that was good, Mum. I thought because you'd miss me." She said, "Oh, yeah, but that's the way I got out of going in the Air Force." So she said, "Oh, I'm going to go in the Air Force." So anyway,
so you went back to London, what, in 43?
43.
And what was it like? I mean, what was
It was terrible. It was. She took me to this school. And
well, I wanted to. How was your school going through all this?
It was getting really. You know,
the effects on your education? All these.
Yeah, I think it affected my education when I got older because all I got was shifted from school to school, and because the time I got used to a teacher, I was somewhere else, and I got on very well the last school because they said to me that you're very clever and so. I thought, oh. And I was cleverer than I should have been for my age or something. I don't know. I can't remember. And when I came back, she took me to this school, Molyneux Street School, which is Bishop's Way, which absolutely... Nearly everything in that road was bombed because they were after the railway line. And because they kept missing the railway line, they kept me. So anyway, she took me to this school, and I had a teacher, a very nice teacher. Her name was Miss Johnson. I can see her now in her tweed clothes and her thick stockings and her shoes, and she used to smoke Craven A, and right up her nose it went, because she used to smoke in the classroom. I mean, they didn't bother then, you see, but you couldn't say a word to her. She would, what? We were all frightened of her, you know, which they don't nowadays. And I think there was about 8 of us in the class. That's all there was. Of course. I got on very well because she spent a lot of time, but the only thing was I was a very good, my handwriting was beautiful, but my spelling was all. But I found out later I was dyslexic in spelling, but in those days they didn't understand it, you know. And I got on very well, and I used to draw very well because, that's right, when I was away I drew this picture in Norfolk of a Norman arch, and nobody knew who it was. He brought the picture out into the front and he said, who drew this? I said, I did. He said, Nathan, did you draw this? He said, it's fantastic. And I was only about 7 or 8. He said, that is absolutely brilliant for a boy, because I've always been a very good drawer and painter. And she found out then she wanted to nurture this in me, because it's very hard in those days. Anyway, there was a terrible accident in the Bethnal Green tube station in 1943. I don't know if you heard of it.
It's from a bombing raid, wasn't it?
Well, what happened was, something happened. People in the tube got frightened. They thought they couldn't get out. And of course, they tried to rush for the door, and they crushed each other, and each one, they were all treading on it, and they all died. 148 people died. And just along past us, about 4 shops, was a funeral director called Merritt. We all got on very well. We all knew the man, and he couldn't bury him quick enough. He was working night and day making these coffins to bury these people. And I was ever so upset because there were little children. Oh, it was a terrible thing. The things that happened were absolutely.
Any of your friends killed, did it?
No, later on, girls from my school got killed in a doodle bug. See, the first ones you could hear, but the V2 rockets you couldn't hear, and she got killed. Anyway, there was enough people in the class to get killed. I know one of the girls in the class was raped during the war and strangled by a tramp, and she was 12 years old. And you think that it goes on now, it went on there as well. And it was,
what do you remember of that? I've not heard of that.
She was raped by this bloody tramp that used to go around with one of these prams and things, and he strangled her and left her body on a derelict, and he was arrested, and I think he was hung for it. And it's haunted me for the rest of my life. You know what I mean? She was a schoolgirl that was in my class, the same age as me, and the poor girl was strangled, and I couldn't why? And I kept saying, why do that to that poor girl? And my mum, when you get older, you'll understand, she kept saying, why? And it's terrible. I couldn't, I thought, that poor girl, never had a life, nothing. And some of them were killed in the bomb, one was killed in a doodlebug thing. She never came back.
The V1
you could hear, blah, 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 blah. And that was another thing that started in 1940.
Well, tell me about the V1 and V2 raids.
Well, the V1 was terrible. It used to just go bang, and the, And I was home one day. I had German measles, believe it or not. And they used to say to me, get away from me, you've got all bloody swashed, you know how kids are. And I was home, and my mum had gone to my gran's, who was not well. She used to do shopping for her, of course, because she wasn't a well woman. She had a bad heart. And of course, she wasn't home that morning when the blooming thing went. And I was in bed ill, and my dad was downstairs. And the windows went, woof, 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 about five times. And I was just, and all of a sudden it went, wham, and the roast. And a piece of glass like that landed 1 inch from my stomach. And I'm saying, Dad, he wasn't interested. He was running up and down the stairs with all the blood. I said, Dad. And we came in, and all the bed, I was in their bed because it was easier. My mum put me in their bed because it was easier because it was not, I was on the next floor. It was two floors, you see. And so she could get up and down and give me whatever I had. And that, oh, I never forget that day. I never forget. Oh. And that's the day my friend got killed in an air raid, and it was terrible. And she never, and I thought they'd never come back again, you know, that's how it was. But loads of them got killed round there. I always remember, though, there was a woman used to wheel a man around in a wheelchair. He had no arms and he had no legs. And I used to say to Mama, what's wrong with him? She used to say, he was wounded in the First World War. He had his, and then all of a sudden I never saw him again, and she said, he must have died, you know. And I thought, how terrible, that poor man, he's got no arms. And I thought, well, how does he exist? A kid can't fathom how a man with no arms exists, you know, it's like a trunk. And she used to have to do everything for him, you know. And I thought, what? And like that also laid in my mind. And because my dad, when he said, you won't have to do any, when the war ended, he said, you won't have to have any wars now, it's all finished with, because not knowing that I was going to be in a war myself.
Yeah, when your dad was away, and you were very young when he was away, did you worry about him? Did you know what was happening?
Yeah, I worried about him because I thought...
Tell us a bit more about his military service. What do you remember about, I mean, what happened to him exactly?
Well, he went to France, you know, because in the early days, they went, the British task force went to France, and the Germans were attacking all over, as you know, but they went to defend France. But as you know, the Germans just pushed in and they just pushed him out. He was in the Royal Army Service Corps. He was a driver in the Service Corps. And he was driving along and all of a sudden a bomb went and got a shell or whatever and he was blown. And they split his head from here all the way round.
Right, round the back of his head.
Oh, he was. And you know what they did? They had to sew him up temporarily with no anaesthetic. Can you imagine? The man, they had about 10 of them had to hold him down because he said he was screaming his head off, obviously, and the blood was everywhere. And he said, and all he remembers getting to the where the boats were taking, all the little boats were coming in, taking the soldiers away. And he said, all I remember was my mates lifting me on this stretcher and walking through the water with me and lifting me on this ship. And when I got to England, they all lifted me off again. And he went into hospital, and he was away for... I always remember when he first came in, a bloody big bandages round his head, and I said, Dad, you all right? So he said, yes, son, I'm all right. He said, just had a little trouble, he said.
Did it affect him?
Yeah, he just disintegrated.
In what way?
Over the years, he just went... I never seen a man go down the hill like he went. He just went down, down and down, and... He got
you mean depression or drinking?
Depressed, no, he wasn't, he drank, but not excessively, but he finished up in mental homes for many times because he was so bad, you know.
And had he shown signs of that before the wound?
No,
so you put it down the wound?
Yeah, yeah, he got a full 100% disability pension, so he must have been bad, but he just went downhill, 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 and downhill. He just wasn't the dad that I remember. Do you know what I mean? He was very bad, bad-tempered, short-tempered, and oh, it was terrible. But I can't blame the guy. I realise now what it was all about. I didn't at the time, but now I realise what he went through. You know, and he did. He just. I remember before the war, he used to take me to different places. You know, and we used to have such fun. I remember one Christmas we went to this. Islington, it was called the Islington Hall or something, and a big fair there, and all he was doing was winning boxes of chocolates. I always remember. And I said, yeah, and he brought another child, he'd bring me home these toys that I played with. I always remember he brought me home this fire engine, and it just lit up in different colours, and it's funny, isn't it? And when he came home, he was clutching a fire engine, but it was made by the boys, they'd made it themselves. And I kept that for years. And then afterwards, my mum threw it away, and I thought, you know, I was upset when she threw it away. I don't know why, but I think it was.
Did he live long after the war?
He died in 1977.
Oh, so it didn't have, you know... He wrecked his life.
He just was an utter wreck. You know, he was just... He wasn't the dad that I remember before the war. And, you know, he was just different, you know.
That must have been very upsetting for you at the time, when you were younger.
Yeah, it was. He used to get terrible headaches. And he used to go like, these headaches, they're killing me. He used to go, you know, it was terrible. And he used to say, I can't do anything for you, Daddy. No, you can't do nothing, son. And that's how it was.
Now, to change to a lighter thing, obviously that's fairly upsetting for you. What about, did you play on the bomb sites?
Yeah.
Can you talk about it? Because it's something that people always talk about. Kids playing on bombs.
I did.
What would you do on a bomb site?
Well, we'd run up and down the, because a lot of these buildings, the stairs were virtually intact. You know, you'd go about one and then the stairs would disappear. So we used to run up and down, play castles, down and out. And we used to run in and out the door. As I said, we used to find these jewellery, which we thought was real.
Costume jewellery.
Yeah, it was cheap rubbish, you know. And the girls would put it round their necks and we'd prance around with things. And we had swords and we used to play with wooden swords. And then we used to make, scooters with the... With Bulgarian wheels, and we used to make the mess, and we used to work down, and I had a bike, a little three-wheeler bike. We used it as a fire engine. We used to tear around the corners, and one day the wheel came off, wheel fell off. I always remember that. My friend round the corner, because his mum and dad had a radio show. Do you know, I saw television for the first time in 1938.
So what was that? Where did you see that?
Well, it was in his shop. It was... The screen was like that, and then it had a glass, and the glass would, so you, instead of seeing a little screen, you see a big screen, because it was a very clever idea. So it's not a new thing. And I always remember I went in there one day and I saw Mickey Mouse, and I ran up and I said, Mum, I've seen Mickey Mouse. She said, oh, don't be daft. And she said, I'll come round. And she said, yeah. She thought I was kid. I've seen Mickey Mouse on a screen, and that, I didn't know it was television. I just saw it was a picture, you know. And I realised I've seen television in 1938. And when I tell them, you're kidding. I said, yeah, I have. I saw it in 1938. Mind you, we didn't see a lot of it, but his parents had television, radio. Well, not many people bought television, you know. Radio, he sold tools, you know, carpenter's tools, and all. He had a lovely shop down there. And I had another friend who, his father and mother had a tobacconist shop on the corner. He became a doctor afterwards, Jerry. He became a doctor.